Hope you care. This, you know, a lot of you are not afraid to be here in God's home to worship, but we'll just have us a wonderful time together. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your grace, for your provision, for our ability, Heavenly Father, our freedom to come and to worship. We thank you for that. We do not take it for credit anymore, take it for granted anymore. It's something that is to be perished. Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning be a wonderful morning of worship and from our assembly and to your glory, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.
I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Good morning. I have a couple of announcements to go along with the offertory this morning. First of all, in regard to the offertory, remember that we have no system of tithing or works in this age, that it's simply you give what God the Holy Spirit leads you to give. And he asks that you do that not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And we have three ways you can give. You can come here personally and drop it in the plate in the back. We're not passing the plate around. And we also have a physical snail mail address, you PO box you can mail a check to, or you can make a donation online through our webpage at springvalleybiblechurch.org. All of that's being displayed below the Facebook feed even as I speak. Okay. As far as the announcements go, I spoke with our treasurer, Jim Passmore, the other day about how things are moving along. I know if you remember, 3 months ago, we had a considerable shortfall in our monthly giving. We need about $7,500 a month to keep everything going the way it's supposed to move online, and our rent and things like that. And I relayed that information to you guys, and there was a tremendous response. And the next month, we were over our budget a little bit. And the month after that, we were right in line with the budget that we need, but the maybe a little bit short, but the previous windfall had covered that one too. So I would say the last 3 months, we've been meeting our budget almost. Even Stephen, okay? And as we come up to the end of year, I want to remind all of you who are independently wealthy that we are an excellent source of avoiding taxes. You can give all that excess cash to us, yeah. And you have those opportunities coming up at the end of the year. We still have to pay our bills just like you do. So I did have something I wanted to share with you this morning. Grace Gospel Missions is Dan and Pat Hill's ministry in Africa, and currently Dan Hill is in Ghana, and he goes over and does pastors' conferences, basically. And he's in the past gone to Nigeria. I think it was one of the first countries that he went to in Africa was Nigeria, and he's maintained a relationship with many of those men. We've had Pastor Fred Abahu's picture on our missionary bulletin board for many years, for a long time. And I'm friends with Dan on Facebook, and all of those pastors around Africa, especially Nigerian pastors, have befriended me, and I get information from them from time to time. And I'd like to tell you a little bit about one of them today. Let's see here. Get this straightened out for you. There we go. So we're going to talk about one of the Nigerian pastors. His name is Linus Akpa. And Linus is he has a small part-time job, and he gets a small stipend from the government to be a missionary, because he in addition to spreading the gospel, he does a lot of charity work. He doesn't work in the big city. He goes out into the little villages, moving far enough north sometimes to be in places where some of these atrocities have occurred from Boko Haram and all of these other militant murdering bands in the northern part of Nigeria. And he's a man of great faith. He's got a good knowledge of the Bible. I've been working on getting some notes to him to help him teach as well. And he's always, I think, present when Dan Hill goes to town. So, as I said, I'm in touch with him on Facebook. He sent a note from Pastor Linus. It says, the last joint fellowship of the year 2020, first Sunday, was awesome. Converts came from neighboring villages to the Lord. Some were baptized. We had Holy Communion. Orphans, widows, the less privileged were attended to. Prayer requests, we need a church building in this village, chairs, a car or a van or a truck, and Bible study materials, as you can see in the pictures. And we're going to look at a few of those pictures. First of all, there's Brother Linus' smiling face there. That's the glamour shot. Here we see him in this village he was just talking about. This is a building. There are no windows on the windows, no door in the doorway, and I think I got caught off. You can see sunlight through the roof in it. So it's four walls, more than would be a better definition than a building. And here they're distributing a little food for the people in that village. Here we see the, mostly the children and their moms off to the side there, and Brother Linus had been leading them in song and teaching them a few verses. Here's he mentioned that they had served communion. Here is serving communion in these two shots. And as he mentioned, they did some baptisms. Well, in Africa, that means you go down to the river. Okay, as Herman knows, he's dunked a few in those African rivers, yeah? And not exactly a smooth river bank, as you can see. You got to go to a part of the river where the water's running. There aren't any alligator or crocodiles there, right? They stay in the stagnant parts. Let's see. So here are a couple of the people that were baptized that day. That's Brother Linus. I'm not sure who's helping him there. I haven't got that guy's name. Okay. And here they're passing out some supplies and clothing for these people. Many of these are widows, and they were widowed by those aforementioned Muslim groups. Here's a woman singing praise to God. And here's the fun part. I'm not going to show you this whole clip. Oh, come on. Where's the volume when you need it? Okay, it worked in rehearsal. There they are. They're singing, and they're not singing in English, but I wanted you to see this. GGM is Grace Gospel Missions. And they gave these women the cloth that they made those dresses out of, but she cut a piece off and made the GGM herself on her T-shirt. And they are praising the Lord there. Praise the Lord is the only thing I could understand in the whole clip. So I wanted you to get a look at what some of our missionaries live in and do to spread the gospel of Christ. And I've talked with Herman, and we've looked at our finances, and our church is going to send $250 to Pastor Linus to help him in his mission. And if any of you are so motivated, please let me know, or give it to Doc Passmore with an earmark on the check for Linus. And I'm going to make sure that all that money gets to him in Nigeria. I think our only resource to do that is through Western Union. But I'm going to be asking Linus for his information. So hopefully within the week, we will get that to him, and when I hear back from him that it's been received, I'll give you another report and let you know what God did through you in Nigeria. And that's our report for today, Brother Chris. You finally get to teach, man. It's been a long morning, long wait for you, and I know you're chomping at the bit. So
I'm excited. That's awesome to see what's going on in Nigeria, and hearing from Dan and Pat. It's pretty awesome. Thank you, Phil, for giving that report. It's pretty awesome to have a relationship with Dan and Pat for years now. They're the ones that actually initially started the youth camps that we started putting on 2009, 2008 time frame, and we continue to do that today. And as I look back on, I don't know, 60-plus kids' faces that are in the back here, many of them were little itty-bitty fourth graders when they started, and now are graduating from college. Some of them are married. It's just crazy. So, but amazing and beautiful. So please support Pastor Linus and in Nigeria. Let's see. We're going to start this morning. I'm going to start with a verse, and then we're going to pray together. But first, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So as we prepare to open the Word this morning, let us prepare our minds for action. We talked about that in 1 Peter. Check yourself for any issues that you put barrier between you and God. Recognize your... Yes, sir?
Well, when you get there, I'd like to say, let's be in prayer for Thomas, because he was hit. And not severely, and he's getting much better now.
Absolutely.
And so,
Sorry, we kind of got out of order here, so I missed the. Hey, any prayer requests this morning? So please be in prayer for the Thomas and Rick and Terry and Kelly. They're dealing with COVID in their household, and we know from Thomas's past experiences with cancer, he's high vulnerability there. So please be in prayer for them. Yes, sir.
It'd be very good for you to tell the people about the parents of the Aggie who went home to be with the Lord, but things that she said at the service. I thought it was fine.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do. So what Pastor Maddox is referring to here is the. We've been praying for Ben and his unit at Texas A&M, their unit in the Corps of Cadets. They lost a friend, a brother in the Corps a couple weeks ago. They had the opportunity to go to the memorial service in Mineral Wells. Many of the cadets that knew Brandon, was the young man's name, that knew him, I went to the service and spent some time up there, but they had an opportunity to talk to the mom a couple of times and say hi to the family and pass on their condolences. But the response from the mom was pretty amazing and grace filled. So when they were talking to the mom who had lost her son, she said, "You know, we were in prayer and the Lord didn't answer our prayer the way we wanted it to be answered. But he answered the prayers of 16 other families because my son was an organ donor." And so 16 families, all of the organs from this young man, were used in the answer to prayers for 16 other families. So y'all, we don't know how God is going to work things out. We just know that we have to trust him. We just trust him. And, please be in prayer for that family. Please be in prayer. As grace-filled as that response is, the pain that family is going to go through will be forever. And it's just, so please continue to be in prayer for that family. Please be in prayer for the Corps, and Ben's unit and all of those that knew Brandon. And be in prayer for all those that have lost family members and friends, and it's painful, but thankfully we know it. For those that are believers, we will see them again, and we will rejoice in that time. So, other prayer requests this morning. Do we want to? Yes.
Just prayers for our youth. Chris mentioned we have 60 plus past Liberty youth. Those are just the ones in college. That doesn't count the ones that have graduated from college or still in high school. Those are just our college age youth right now. Chris was talking about Brandon. Ben and his friends were not sure he was a believer until the memorial service, and he absolutely was a believer. But God has put on our heart that a lot of these college kids, including our Liberty college kids, are not going to church, most of them, and they're not. They're trying to find other brothers and sisters in Christ, but they're not maybe speaking out about what their faith is. They don't know how it'll be received, so they're being persecuted a lot in that. So our prayer is that God will use this time with Brandon and for all of our kids that are in college to just be a light and to share the Lord, and that others will come to him. And along with that, Phyllis, y'all know Phyllis in Florida, she made 80 Christmas cards for us to all sign for all of our college youth. So we have the cards here today. We can start signing. And along with that, every year we take a donation. Just donate whatever you're led to donate. And we will divide that up and we do a gift card for all of our college kids. And so we want to start doing that now. We want to get the word out far and wide. This is just a small thing that we can give to our college kids, along with a card personally made by Phyllis with all of us signing. We'll put a little letter in there that we're praying for them, and with some scripture and a little gift card that they know that they are not forgotten. They are on the minds of Spring Valley Bible Church and the Liberty Youth staff, and then we're praying for them during this time. So along with that, we have 30 veterans cards that Phyllis made, and those will be for the veterans that we are going to be honoring today that who signed up and put their address that they would like to receive a card from the youth. So we will have the youth sign those. But just want to let y'all know, God is using lots of people to support and bless so many people out there. So just be in prayer for all of
us. No, we all have gifts. Ms. Phyllis, thank you for your gift of encouragement and your gift of arts and crafts, because you make a ton of beautiful cards. They are amazing. So thank you for that. We all have gifts. We all have things that that we can bring in working with the youth, in our congregation, in the technology, and all of those things. And so our prayer is that if you have a gift, if you have something that's on your mind to help continue to get the word out and continue to support this ministry, then please bring it forward. Let us be a part you be a part of that. So
Phyllis has been so faithful to this same church in so many different ways.
Yep.
She's been a member.
Yep. Oh yeah, every week when I get done teaching, I wait for my email so I can see what I did wrong or what I know. She's always a beautiful encouragement in that. So thank you. Public service announcement. We have our Veterans Day celebration today at Celebration Park, appropriate, in Allen at 3 o'clock. Please come join us. There's acres and acres, so we can spread you out as far as you feel comfortable. You can wear a mask. You can not wear a mask. We're going to have a celebration of our veterans and our country. Play some awesome patriotic music and share the gospel. We love doing that on the big speaker because we can send it far and wide, and anybody around gets the opportunity to hear the gospel, whether they thought that's what they were going to do at the park or not. So please join us for that. That will be a fun celebration. We're going to have a kickball afterwards. And so if
in Pavilion A.
And so, Herman, if you're ready for some kickball, wear your tennis shoes. We'll be rocking and rolling. So. Lots of other prayer requests, those that are in need, those that need jobs, those that need prayers for their health. Please, if you have not signed up for the prayer list that Leslie sends out, thank you, Leslie, for being faithful in that. Please sign up for that, and we will continue to be in daily prayer. Specifically, I'd like to pray for Autumn Switzer. She continues to be challenged. She's the young lady, 18 years old, has lung cancer. She continues to be challenged with some stomach issues and has been in the hospital a couple of times at least one time in the last week. And so we want to lift her up to God's healing power and his plan. She's an amazing witness to faith and encouragement. Her father is a pastor in Wiley, and her mom is runs the preschool or is part of the preschool in their church. And they are both just amazing, amazing witnesses to faith and understanding that God is in control. And the way that they present themselves is a witness for all. So please be in prayer for that family. Anything else this morning? Yes, sir.
I'll just add a note of thanksgiving for my mother's cancer treatment.
Okay.
We have specific information there. I'm thankful for.
Okay.
Very much so.
Awesome. So praise report on
yes.
Brian's mom's cancer treatment.
Yes.
So. Any word on Jeff Langston?
Anel,
do you know anything about Jeff? How's he feeling?
Well, he was supposed to get a conference call Friday about results. So far, they haven't really found anything, so it looks like things are going to be okay. But they're on their celebrating anniversary, and they're out of town, so I haven't heard from him on what the final say was. But he seems to be doing better.
Awesome.
And Martha has a prayer of thanksgiving that her sister Barbara has recuperated from COVID.
Awesome. Martha's sister Barbara is recuperated from COVID. Keep me in prayer. Hey, please be in prayer for all those that have recovered, because there are some things that they're finding that are continuing to challenge people even after they've recovered. I've got some friends of mine who've had COVID earlier on, and they still don't have their taste or smell, and they say that's the weirdest thing. Of all the things that it does come back eventually, but just be in prayer for all that's going on. And y'all be in prayer for our country. We have a lot that's going on in our country. I was listening to a podcast that Supreme Court Justice Alito was talking about, and you're going to hear more and more and more, and it's not even an attempt to cover what they're trying to say with regards to I'm going to follow the science. We're going to follow the science. And you're going to hear it, and you're going to hear it, and you heard it in debates. You've heard... Y'all, what they're saying when they're saying we're going to follow the science is we're going to follow the science at the expense of faith. Because the scientists that they're following don't make any claim to their science supporting the Bible. In fact, their claim is that their science does not support the Bible. And when they are saying out loud over and over and over and over again, we will follow the science, what they're saying is we are shutting down your religious liberty. Be in prayer. There are scientists out there who are believers and who can show you the facts of where science completely supports the things that are said in the Bible. That is not who they're following. So, please be in prayer for our country. God knows exactly what He's doing. It looks like that our next president will be President Biden. And just be in prayer for him. Be in prayer that he does not end up being so influenced by those that would pull us further and further away. But God knows exactly what He's doing. So, be in prayer for our country, y'all. And come celebrate the veterans and the freedom that we do have. Come celebrate today with us. With that being said, I will go back to where I started. But thank you for redirecting there. Any other prayer requests in this? So, as we prepare to open the Word of God this morning, let us prepare our minds for action. Check yourself for any issues that you have put a barrier between, that have put a barrier between you and God. Recognize your position and turn back to Him by believing that the Spirit of God will open your eyes to the truth. That He will give you the ability to learn, understand, and apply the things that we talk about today to your life so that you may continue to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time this morning to be able to open Your Word. We thank You for the freedom that we still have in this country, specifically in this wonderful state of Texas that allows us to get together, even in the midst of a pandemic, that we have the choice. We have the choice to decide whether we're coming or we're not. And we come to You, Father, this morning, and we praise You and thank You for that freedom, and we ask that You will continue to give us that ability. Father, we pray for those that are in need, for those that need jobs, and those that need healing, for those that need uplifting and spiritual guidance. Father, we just know that You are the healer, You are the provider, You do all these things. And so we lift these prayer requests up to You this morning, Father. We pray for our young people. We pray for the finances that will support our youth. We pray for the finances that will support our missionaries and the spreading of Your Word throughout the world. Father, we thank You for who You are and all that You do for us each and every day. In Christ's name, amen. So we studied last week. We got through verse 11. We focused on the work of God in the believer. So 2 Peter 1. Is where we will be starting. And the first 11 verses we've covered over the last couple of 3 weeks. And it was really focused on the work of God in the believer. And faith, moral excellence, you know, through our faith. Faith that delivers a result. A result in moral excellence, in continuing knowledge and growth. Self-control, perseverance, faith. Mutual affection and love. The continued transformation of the mind of the believer. That's what we've been focused on. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, we're focused on how God works in us to transform our minds into the mind of Christ. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you may provide what the will of God, you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so now we move into 2 Peter 1, verse 12, And he moves from the Word of God being the instrument, moves to the Word of God being the instrument of that growing of knowledge within the believer. The Word of God through the filling of the Spirit. That's why we started with the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2:14. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, but he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The only way we will ever spiritually discern anything is through the Spirit. So thus, we need to be filled with the Spirit when we open the Word of God. And so, let's start with 2 Peter 1:12, and I'm going to read through 15, and then we'll talk about these for a couple of minutes. I'm going to finish the first chapter here. I mean, the first part of the first chapter in 2 Peter 1:12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present within you. They are believers. They know the truth. And he's going to continue to remind them of these things that we are to consider as we think about our position in Christ. Verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of a reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that in any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. And so what is he talking about? In the opening section, Peter makes a few points clear to the extended congregation. First of all, it's right for the teacher to repeat teaching of doctrine. So y'all that show up every however long and you go, oh my gosh, they're teaching the same thing. That's pretty funny, considering there's 66 books and a whole lot of doctrine in between. But in the opening section, it's right for the teacher to repeat the teaching of doctrine, probably because he knows we don't get it the first or second or third time. You all ever heard, standing here and you're going, and you're like, oh my gosh, I've read that 45 times and I never understood it. That's the leading of the Spirit. The Spirit's one's going to give us the teaching that we need when we need it. And so repetition is not wrong. In fact, repetition is not just for the purpose of knowledge, which we may already have, but it stirs the soul. Repetition stirs the soul. Being reminded of the things we already know will often convict us in areas we may have chosen to ignore. Think about that for a minute. You're sat there and going, oh, I've heard that like 45 times. Oh, I probably ought to pay attention to that. That's really kind of pointed. Peter also knows his time on earth is closing fast, but he loves these people and he wants to be able to recall the teaching, wants them to be able to recall the teaching that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. Peter's making it really clear. The Holy Spirit gave me this information. I'm passing it on to you, and I want you to be able to have it. You meaning them, and you meaning us. It was passed on to us. Verse 15, I will also be diligent. Peter called on them to be diligent, a personal commitment, faith with a result, and continuing their journey to spiritual maturity. He was being diligent in writing down these epistles as directed by the Holy Spirit. These are the words of God, so that they could be recalled to their mind, our minds, after his departure from earth. Peter was being faithful to the Lord in the writing of the Word, and the believers ever since have been blessed by it. I wonder if Peter had any idea when he wrote this stuff down that 2,000 years later we'd be talking about him writing it down and pointing us to the Lord. Man, it's kind of like huge multi-level marketing, right? How many people, he's at the top, God's at the top. And so Peter wrote this down and was diligent and faithful so that believers ever since his time have been blessed by it. And so now he establishes that his teaching is the truth of the Word of God. In this, he's gone through, hey, these are the things I want you to know. I want you to understand that you know, the divine nature. I want you to understand that to your faith, through your faith, it should result in continued knowledge, in self-control, in moral excellence, in love, in mutual affection for your brothers and sisters in Christ. These things are important. And he continues to add to these as we continue to mature spiritually. But he wants to circle back around and says, this is the Word of God. And I don't mind repeating it over and over and over so that you get it. This is the Word of God. And so he wants to establish at this point that this is the truth of the Word. And so in 2 Peter 1:16, he says, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Verse 16, we did not follow cleverly devised tales. And we're going to talk about that because when he picks up in chapter 2, we're really going to get into false teaching. We're really going to get in an understanding that he's warning every single one of us then and now about false teachers and the disaster that is false teaching. And so he's talking about, we did not follow cleverly devised tales, which I'll refer to in a few moments, Peter. Peter is establishing the truth of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in his full majesty. We did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The power and the Lord of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. The idea of the return of Jesus in his full majesty was all through 1 Peter. So when you look through 1 Peter, you're going to see that he, and we'll refer to it in a second, he wanted to make it very clear that we should keep this in the front of our minds. Our focus, we're citizens in heaven, and we should be focusing at the return of Christ. That's why we're still here, is we're focused on that. We're focused on what's the end result. The end result is the return of Christ. And so we should always be prepared for that return. We live our lives not knowing when Christ will return. That should not be something that discourages us. Oh, I don't know when to get ready. You know, it's kind of like you're going to have a party on Saturday night. You don't need to start getting ready till like 4 o'clock on Saturday. We don't know when the party is. We have no idea when the party's going to start. We better be ready right now. We need to be ready every minute of every day. That is what we need to do. In 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. We have an inheritance. We have the glory that we will get to participate in with God when Christ returns. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when Christ returns. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing as though something strange were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of His glory, you may also rejoice and be overjoyed. Peter's focus is on the return of Christ. Our focus is on the return of Christ. In 2 Peter 1:16, he also switches, because during this period of time, he switches here to we. We did not follow, right, the clever teachings, which establishes that there were more than one involved in the eyewitness of the majesty and future return of Christ. What's he talking about here? In the Mosaic Law, there two or more eyewitnesses were required to establish fact, establish truth. In this particular case, Deuteronomy 19:15 says, a single witness shall not rise up against a person regarding any wrongdoing or any sin that he commits. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. And so he's talking to people who knew the law. They know the law. And so he switches from I in his teaching to we. We saw the majesty. So who were these witnesses and what are they witnesses to? He goes on in 2 Peter 1:17, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such a declaration as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this declaration made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. This is the transfiguration. He's referring to the transfiguration of Christ on the mountain. And so, in reading the transfiguration passage from Mark 9, and it's actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this account, but I'm going to read from Mark 9. And it says, "And Jesus was saying to them," meaning his disciples, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God when it has come with power." Now he's talking to his disciples. And some of them are going to have the opportunity to see the kingdom of God in its full power and Christ in his full glory before they die. Stop and think about that for a minute. So going on to verse 2, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and brought them up on a mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth could whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter responded and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter. Sometimes you just got to love Peter. "For Peter did not know how to reply before they became terrified. Then a cloud formed overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, 'This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.' And suddenly they looked around and saw no one with them anymore except Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, he gave them orders not to relate this to anyone, what they had seen, until the Son of Man rose from the dead." Jesus tells them that some of them would see the kingdom of God when it has come to full power before they died. Three eyewitnesses. By the law, they've established the fact. They've established the truth. Three eyewitnesses saying the same thing. Peter, James, and John. They were three witnesses to this event on the mountain. Eyewitnesses to the power, majesty, and future return of Christ. Christ let them see this. God let them see this. How amazing. Christ's majesty was seen by these three. Christ's majesty was declared by the Father. Not only did they see him, in fact, as we're going through this, you're going to see that Peter was more blown away, not by what he saw, but by what he heard from the Father. Christ's majesty was declared by his Father, God the Father. Peter is giving them the eyewitness evidence that Christ will return in his full majesty and is challenging them to live a life in alignment with the will of God. That's our challenge. To know this is true, to know this is coming, that is our challenge. To live our lives according to the will of God, the Word of God, the knowledge, through the power of God in our lives, not knowing when he's going to return, but being prepared at every moment for Christ's return. That's like to be in the middle of something you really shouldn't be doing when Christ shows up. Kind of like your parents busting you, right? It's like, shoot, I'm not supposed to be doing that. Well, then don't. Peter is giving them the eyewitness evidence that Christ will return in his full majesty and is challenging them to live a life in alignment with the will of God. What Peter is writing is the truth. It is the Word of God. I can only imagine the impact this had on their lives and thus the emphasis that Peter has in teaching on staying focused on the coming of the Lord. Think of all of the events and things and encounters that Peter had. Peter and Jesus were friends. They were close. not taking any of that away, Peter also had some pretty amazing encounters with Christ. If you think about the things that, and this had to have just been, I mean, visualizing this, and Peter just, I don't know what to do. Like all the other times, I didn't know what to do and did something stupid. I'm going to say something stupid now, and then God says, wait, I got it. And then he declares, this is my beloved son, listen to him. That had just blown him away. On top of all the other things, walking on the water wasn't enough. Seeing Christ in his majesty and God the Father declaring that he is the son, the beloved son, had to have been pretty amazing. It is interesting the emphasis that Peter puts on what he heard versus what he saw. What he heard was the voice of God. He heard the words of the Father. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And that's what we're talking about in verses 16 and 17 and 18. So moving on in 19, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure. So he's moving from, here's the account, here's the truth. I've established the fact that what I'm telling you through eyewitnesses and what... that the scriptures are true, and the word of God is truth. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. God has established the truth of the encounter on the mountains with three eyewitnesses, as if we really needed him to do that. He's God. But he did. The people can see in the scriptures that the kingdom of God on earth is prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. So not only are they prophesied, but Peter is witnessing to, I saw what's going to happen, and I have multiple witnesses. The scriptures are true. The encounter on the mountain aligns to the scriptures, so the scriptures are made more certain. In the Greek, the word can be translated as absolutely certain. The scriptures are absolutely certain. They're dependable. They're worthy of confidence. So we would do well to pay attention to them. A lamp shining in a dark place. The illumination. The scriptures are our lamp in a dark world, illuminating our path. So continue to look at them until the dawn comes, till Christ returns. This is back to transforming your mind through the knowledge, through the power of the Spirit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to look into the Scriptures until the day dawns, return of Christ, Romans 13:12. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let's rid ourselves of the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Till the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. The morning star, used only here, this Greek word used only here in the New Testament. The definition is light bringer. Until the bringer of light is in your heart, it's the center of your being. Key points. God has established the absolute certainty of the Scriptures. So we should pay attention to them, learn and apply them to our lives. They are the source of light. They're the source of truth in this dark world. There is no other source of truth. We've talked about this many times. This whole idea of if I don't hurt anybody, then it's okay. This whole idea of moral relativism. It's, well, relative to that person, I'm a good person, so I'm okay. No. It's relative to the truth which is the Word of God. Continue to learn and apply the Scriptures until the day dawns, until Christ's return. At Christ's return, we'll not need the written word because we will have the word. We will have Christ. Now, think about that. We spend a lot of time, hopefully, we spend a lot of time studying and pouring over to just stand there and just, wow, worship the word. Worship Christ. The living word will then be the center of our being. That's what it needs to be now. The written word takes us to Christ, the center. Verse 20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture becomes a matter of someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Scriptures originated from God, written by man, revealed by the Spirit. The scripture is not open to man's interpretation. It's open to God's interpretation. Say over and over and over again, the Word of God interprets the Word of God. It's not man's interpretation. Scripture is understood only through the filling of the Spirit of God. And scriptures are the very words of God Himself. That's verse 20. And so, as we complete this chapter, I want to take a moment and challenge all of us to think about how we approach the Bible. And I'm not going to declare any theology or doctrines in this, but this little book, I had an opportunity to read this. It's called Before You Open Your Bible. And I bring this up because I think that as we become familiar with the Bible, as we read it in passing, or we pick it up on Christmas Eve and read, you know, the stories from the account, which is awesome, the account of Christ's birth, or Easter rolls around and we read a couple of things from the Gospels, and we just kind of do it through routine and habit of, hey, these are cool things, we should do these things, and we do it. We kind of start to become familiar with certain things. And approaching the Bible with familiarity is a dangerous thing. How we approach the Bible has a huge impact on what we get out of it, on what we get out of the time that we put into approaching the Bible and reading it and studying it. And so I wanted to talk about a couple of thoughts from this book. Like I said, this is not theology, this is not doctrine. It's just an interesting, it made me stop and think, and I wanted to share it with you. And we have more of these books that we share them with the young people because it kind of talks about several things. First of all, this is the Word of God. Every word written in here, there's no words in here that are not for a purpose. And so we need to approach it as the Word of God. Study it in the power of the Spirit. We can't understand this. We can't discern the things from this Word. From this book without the understanding and the power of the Spirit. So we start with prayer. We ask God to help us focus and understand. This is not a ritual prayer, but a sincere prayer expressing our desire to understand His Word. And I say these things to y'all because these are things that I've been... It's interesting, I don't know, Phil, if you have the same situation, that the things that I get most dogmatic and preachy about are things that I'm just looking in the mirror. Because I know they're true. I know they're true for me, and I assume they're true for some of y'all as well. And so I think we need to approach it not from a ritual, okay, blah, 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 ready to study. Okay, all right, now let's study. No, it's a sincere approach to God. Please help me understand this. This is Your Word. I cannot know it without You. So we study it humbly. There are two words in the English language that completely shut down our ability to learn. I know. Two words. If we walk into, oh, I already know this stuff, if we start scanning a passage and we say, I know this, we've completely shut down our ability to learn. If I know it and the Spirit of God wants to tell me something and I'm telling Him I already know it, we got a problem. I'm not going to learn it. So we study it humbly. We study the Scriptures desperately. Like your life depends on it. When we open the Word of God, we should study it desperately. Approach it as if there is nothing else left in the world for you to do. It's the only answer, because it is. Without it, you'll shrivel up and die, because you will. We should desperately come to the Word of God for answers. We should be looking at it as if there's nothing else I would ever want to know except this. We should approach it joyfully, not out of ritual, not out of, you know, obligation. There are days when, I mean, Phil, I don't know what time you were up studying until last night, but at some point you're probably like, okay, now I'm past joy, I'm in obligation because I got to teach tomorrow. It happens, I understand that, but generally speaking, we should be approaching the study of the Word of God joyfully. We have the honor of hearing directly from God. These are God's words. This is His book. Expectantly, we should study the Word of God with the intention of it completely changing our lives. Not searching for things that we agree with or things that will make our point. But God, what do you want me to know? I know that there's something in here in this 10 minutes that I'm going to study. I have 10 minutes before I got to be at my next meeting. I've opened the Word, and I expect that you are going to do something amazing. That's the way we approach the study of the Word of God. Study the Word of God with the intention of it completely changing your life all the time. Look for what God is saying and expect it to blow you away, because it will. Study the Scriptures studiously. The more you learn, the more you want to learn. That is so true. So true. The more I get a chance to sit down and study, and I don't even know Greek. I mean, I'm having to Google stuff on, you know, I don't know what that means. But the more I do it, the more I want to do it. The more it is just amazing. Study it studiously. Things start to come together. Stories start to align in history. We were talking to our young people last week, a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about when you learn the Abraham and the story of Abraham over here, and then you get Isaac and Abraham and Isaac on the mountain and God providing the ram, and then you get to Noah and David and Goliath, and then all these things, and they're as little kids, they're just disparate stories. They're cool to hear how God worked. But as you study and you understand, and all of a sudden, I love what Kitts talks about, the fabric of Scripture. It's just all these things are woven together into this mosaic that just jumps off the page. And understanding the history and understanding how God over and over and over again continued to bless His chosen people, even when He had to discipline them. Oh, by the way, y'all, that's what's happening with America today. God was blessing us, and now He's disciplining us. But you understand that because you can see the history of Israel, God's chosen people. We aren't even, I mean, America, it's not in the Bible. But we were a client nation. We were a nation that was focused on spreading the gospel. And now we have turned away from that. But study studiously. Approach the Scriptures studiously. It's like looking at one of those pictures that has all the colors with little blocks. But if you look at it long enough, a really cool picture of a lion jumps out. You guys ever seen that? Now, I can't see it. I can only see with one eye at a time, so I can't get this whole meshing thing. But I look at it, and it's like, yeah, that's a cool bunch of blocks. Now, I promise I could stand there and stare at one spot for 20 minutes, and it's still a cool bunch of blocks. But many of y'all, you have seen those with all those little tiny pieces, and it looks like just this big jumbled up nothing, and then all of a sudden it just comes out, just jumps out of the page. You guys ever seen those? Those are cool. I think they're cool. Everybody tells me they're cool. Yeah. I have no idea. I've never seen one. But that's where we should borrow it, the Scriptures, right? Okay, I got these little pieces, all of these different stories, and then all of a sudden, God just reveals what He wants you to know. Study the Scriptures obediently. God didn't give us the Scriptures and then send out a survey to see what He needed to change to make us like it more. I'm going to stop on that one. Surveys are the way of the world today. I promise you, when I'm at work, I can't have a single meeting without somebody sending a survey to ask whether or not we wanted to change something. At some point, I don't care. It's over. It's gone. God doesn't send out a survey and say, hey, did you like this part? Should I change this? What do you think? No. Approach it obediently. We don't go into the Scriptures looking for Him to agree with me or with us. I tease my dad. So my dad, I love my dad to death. And he's been studying under Colonel Thieme and Bobby Thieme. And he's the one that got us into learning doctrine, my dad. He said, I can't do this thing with the Methodist Church anymore. I'm going over here. And that's how we started stuff. So I give my dad so much credit and honor for leading us to this. But the first time we ever went and saw Colonel Thieme, and I'm sure he would, because he tells the story, so I'm not saying anything bad about my dad. But he went up to Colonel Thieme, and Colonel Thieme was teaching, and I mean, you guys all probably have heard Colonel Thieme, and he was on. We were at a conference, and man, he was pounding. I'm going to teach. I don't remember what it was. I was like 9. And my dad walks up to him afterwards and says, Colonel, I'm glad I finally found somebody who told me that God agrees with me. we were new to doctrine at the time. So, I love my dad, and I honor the fact that he turned us over to the study of the Word of God through Bible doctrine, and we learned so much through that. But that's not the way we approach the Bible. We're not looking for God to agree with us. We're looking for us to be transformed and changed into the likeness of what God wants us to be. There will be times that we will not like something or agree with something or want to follow something that the Scriptures teach us. In fact, there will be many a time, because it's like totally contrary to our human nature. Our human nature. And it is our nature. It's our Adamic nature. When we approach the study of the Word of God, make a commitment to obey what God says. He doesn't make mistakes. If God says this is what we should be doing, then we should be doing it. If we're reading the Word of God and go, I'm going to send my feedback on this, stop, because He doesn't want it. He wants us to obey through the power of the Spirit. And so, in closing, here's my challenge to everyone today. Over the next week, because we just finished 2 Peter chapter 1. Over the next week, study 2 Peter chapter 1 or 2 Timothy. I say that because Phil's teaching that first hour. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Spend 30 minutes each day studying it yourself. Take 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Everybody can find 30 minutes. If you can't find 30 minutes, turn Fox News off for 30 minutes and study. All right? Spend 10 minutes in prayer before you start to study, preparing your mind for action. Think about these things. Come to God through the power of the Spirit, desperately, joyfully. Right? Come to Him wanting to know, studiously. Spend 10 minutes in prayer and then 30 minutes of study. And seek the truth desperately in your studies. Really study the passage. I'm telling you this because one of the most amazing things that has happened to me over the opportunity to now have the chance to teach here on a regular basis is the amount of studying has gone up exponentially. And the amount I want to study has gone up exponentially. It's incredible. The more you learn, the more you study, the more God enlightens the things that are happening in the Word, the more you want it. And so that's my challenge. Really study the passages. It doesn't matter where you're coming from, in the Greek or the Hebrew, or goodness gracious, I can't even say Hebrew words, much less, figure out what they mean. But use the cross references. Every one of our Bibles has, a million cross references down the middle of your page, right? Or if you've got a study Bible, you've got all kinds of notes. Go search those passages. If there's some amazing commentaries out there. I don't use the commentary to understand the passage, but they have a lot of references in those commentaries that take you to other passages on how you interpreted things. And they're all online. Oh my gosh. I mean, you can have a library as big as this full of commentaries, or you can have a computer. You're going to have the same amount of information. It's all there. I know what Pastor Maddox has, right? So I can only imagine. I know what your library looks like. So I just don't know how you can find anything. But use the cross references. Look up the commentaries. See what the pronouns tie to and what nouns. See the he and the we and the change from the I to the the singular to the plural, and study it. Really spend some time studying it. If God puts a verse in your mind, look it up and read it. Read the whole passage to keep the context. Google it if you can't find the verse. If something's like, oh man, I do this all the time. Okay, I know there's a verse that has these few words in it, I Google it, and man, it takes me there in like 2 nanoseconds. Right? I'm sure at some point I will get shut down from Google for Googling things in Scripture. But for now, we can still use it. And I don't ever use the Internet's interpretation of it, because I have no idea with it, but use the Bible. Google it if you can't find it, but really study it. And then come to it expecting God to teach you something amazing. And make clear the message. And then commit to obeying it. Commit to doing it. And do that every day, 30 minutes every day for the next week. It's your challenge. I have no idea whether you'll do it or not. And I know we don't normally set out a list of challenges that we're going to have, but I'm going to throw this one out to you. Try it, because it is incredible. Remember that scriptures are the very words of God Himself. These are God's words. Why wouldn't we come to Him desperately, studiously, joyfully, expectantly, humbly? Once it gets inside you, you'll find that you can't get enough. With that, we will close in a word of prayer. Please join us today, if you can, for our Veterans Day celebration and some fellowship. It is a fundraiser for the youth, but we'd love to have you there. Even if you come with empty pockets, everybody's invited. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We just ask that the things that you want us to know are made clear. Father, convict us this week to study, to spend some time every day studying your word. It's not just left to the pastor. It's not just left to those that have gone through seminary or those that have gone through some program to get ordained. Father, you have blessed every one of us with a Bible and a brain and the Spirit of God. So, Father, we ask that you help us to find the time, to find the motivation. Help us to come to you expectantly, joyfully, obediently, desperately. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us each day. We thank you for the blessing of our church, for our congregation. And Father, we thank you for the blessing of our freedom in this country, and we ask that you will preserve it, guide our leaders, and guide our church, the church body within our country and around the world, to continue to turn back to you in the truth. In Christ's name, amen.